This is what should be done by one who is skilled in goodness and who knows the path of peace. Let them be able and upright, straightforward and gentle in speech, humble and not conceited, contented and easily satisfied, unburdened with duties and frugal in their ways, peaceful and calm and wise and skillful, not proud or demanding in nature. Let them not do the slightest thing that the wise would later reprove, wishing in gladness and in safety, may all beings be at ease. Whatever living beings there may be, whether they are weak or strong, omitting none, the great or the mighty, medium, short or small, the seen and the unseen, those living near and far away, those born and to be born, may all beings be at ease. Let none deceive another, or despise any being in any state. Let none, through anger or ill will, wish harm upon another. Even as a mother protects with her life her child, her only child, so with a boundless heart should one cherish all living beings, radiating kindness over the entire world, spreading upwards to the skies and downwards to the depths, outwards and unbounded, freed from hatred and ill will, whether standing or walking, seated or lying down, free from drowsiness. One should sustain this recollection. This is said to be the sublime abiding, by not holding to fixed views, the pure-hearted one having clarity of vision, being freed from all sense desires, is not born again into this world. Oh, he's leaving on the screen. Okay, good. There we are. All right. Now, so in the last two times I've been here, I believe we did meditation for quite a long time. And I guess the first thing, first order of business for me is to know how long you want to meditate tonight. Oh, you don't want to go for an hour, eh? You don't want to do it for... Oh, I see. All right. I'm not sure that I have that much prepared to say, but... talk about what? Oh, Piti Sukha. Piti, P-I-T-I is the, and Sukha, S-U-K-H-A. Okay. Okay. Well, all right. I'll try my best. All right, so are there any questions then, since we have plenty of room, plenty of time for people? Has everybody here who's attending done meditation before? Has anyone not done meditation? who needs instruction. Does anyone have any particular question about meditation? I see one hand. Yes. Yeah. Oh, really? Okay. All right. Well, what I'm attempting to do is aim towards breath meditation. And when you do meditation, you have a meditation object, generally. And what we teach here usually is breath meditation, in and out breath. In and out breathing, anapanasati. We don't have to do that. I mean, there are other meditation objects, for instance, metta. We did this chant here before, we just finished. That's metta, or loving kindness meditation. That's another type of meditation. What I usually aim for is in and out breathing, unless somebody prefers to do something else. I'll say at the beginning, breath meditation is generally silent. So if you want to do another type of meditation with another object like metta, for instance, may I be happy, or may such and such be happy, I can explain that, and you can do that. And I don't speak very much during the meditation. So once in a while, I'll do a little prompting to keep people on the track, knowing from my own experience that it's very easy for your thoughts to overrun your meditation. So if you want to do another type of meditation, that's up to you. So what I mean by meditating is on the breath. I'll jump to breath meditation, is that on the in and out breath, you pay attention to the in and out breathing. And the aim is to quiet the mind down and let the thoughts in the mind quiet down so that you're only paying attention to the in and out breathing. And you see all aspects of the breath without commenting on them. And let the mind become silent and pay attention only to the in and out breathing. That's basically the in and out breath. I'm making it short, but is that clarify? Is there anything based on that you want to know further? Or is there anything unclear about meditation? Well, meditation is both hard and simple at the same time. It's simple to explain, but it's difficult to get the mind reined in and follow the path of the meditation object. So that's our object, but our objective. But don't worry, that's what it's all about. It's a practice. So you have to do it over and over, and devote a little bit of time to it every day in order to be proficient. And proficiency is what you aim for. That's what we all aim for. And by proficiency, I mean being able to follow your meditation object without a lot of inner talk, a lot of inner, talking to yourself about this or that, or having the mind worry about the two suitcases. One is the past, one is the future. Worrying about what's going on tomorrow, or what has happened, or being concerned about what people said to you today. Letting all those things drop to the floor, just letting them go. For this short period of time, and just tell the mind for this short period of time, say a half hour or so, I'm going to let all these thoughts go. I can think about them as much as I want later. You make a bargain with your mind if you want. That's one way to do it. And you proceed to just watch the breath, every aspect of the breath, the inhale, the exhale, the pauses. You see all the interesting things about the breath that you may never have noticed before. And keep your mind on the breathing. That's the practice, okay? All right. Anyone else? Yes, sir. Sure, I can hear you. Yes, I hear you. Mm-hmm. Good. For your question, sir, and I can't, Farhan, okay. Yes, yeah, I heard your question, and definitely you can get different insights, and it's a good to vary your meditation. It's a good idea to do some sitting meditation and some walking meditation. And if you go to any of the meditation retreats, they usually do a little of each. It's up to you what you do, but I, from my own personal experience, I had my best meditation when I was doing walking meditation. Nevertheless, I continued to do sitting meditation. I do a bit of each. Depending, and for instance, you're asking about whether your insights are different. That would certainly depend on the individual. But my insight at that one particular time improved. How can I say it? That was a very worthwhile practice. That was many years ago when I did this walking meditation one day. So I think it's a good idea for everybody to vary their type of meditation. And once in a while, I've recommended this in the past, it's a good idea to start every meditation, in my opinion, with metta. This is how my first teacher taught, Bhante Gunaratana, who's living in the United States now. But he's a real metta meditation teacher, and he always began his meditations with at least a little bit of metta meditation. And this gets you in the proper state of mind and relaxes you. And the idea of spreading metta, which is loving kindness, spreading that to everybody and to the whole world, or however you do the metta, or just to say, may I be well, happy, and peaceful. May I be well, happy, and peaceful, and do that for a while before you start, say, the breath meditation or some other kind of meditation. I would recommend that greatly. And I wouldn't recommend necessarily doing walking meditation tonight during the class, but you can if you want, if you still have contact with what we're doing. Since we're using a screen and so on. Does that help at all? Or am I giving you specific enough information? Yes? Is there anything else that I'm not covering that? Okay. Yeah, I would definitely encourage people to try different types of meditation. I would definitely encourage people to do metta, some metta. I would say vary your posture. You can do metta. I mean, you can do in meditation in various postures. Standing is a posture. Lying down is a posture. You can try them. You can try them to see what your experience is with them. Okay. Not necessarily tonight, but during your meditation at home. All right? Anything else? If there's nothing else, then we'll start the meditation, and you want to go about a half hour. So, okay. I may be off a little bit in the timing, but if I'm off too much, somebody can say something. So we'll go for about a half hour. Can you, if you can still hear me, if it's not muted, then fine. I'll just start out with a little metta. This is for each person here in their own mind. And you're thinking to yourself, may I be happy? May I be happy? May I be well, happy, and peaceful? May I be well, happy, and peaceful? And you, by doing it silently, you can sync this recitation up with your breath. You can, on the in-breath, you can say, may I be, and on the out-breath, be happy. May I be happy, like that, or something similar to that. So proceed with a little bit of metta, and then I'll break in, and you can continue with the metta, or you can switch to the breath meditation. So, may I be happy. All right, now we'll switch to the breath meditation. Those who wish to, the in and out breath, Anapanasati. Watch the in breath and then the out breath. Note the differences in the in breath and the out breath. Is one longer and one shorter? Are the pauses different lengths, and so on? Keep your mind on the breath. Remember, follow the breath. Let the in and out breath be your guide. Keep your attention on the breathing, in and out. If you're thinking of other things, find that train of the breath in and out again. Ride the breath, stay with the breath, in and out. Now, in this last minute or so of meditation, if you wish, you can go back to metta, loving kindness meditation. May all beings be happy. Spread your metta out through all the universe in all directions. To everyone on this planet, to everyone in the solar system, the universe, and so on. Spread the metta out to the whole world, above and below. And with your own personal self, may I be happy. May I be happy. May I be happy. So we'll conclude our meditation session, and I would ask if anyone has any questions about meditation now. No.
Myself at my head, but
Thank you. That's a good comment. And it I would say the best way to do breath meditation for you, where to put your attention, is wherever you find that it's most effective. Generally speaking, we don't find a particular place here, at least Ajahn Brahm doesn't. In his teaching, he found that when he was a young monk and he had a cold, he couldn't breathe. He couldn't breathe the way that they were instructing him. He couldn't breathe through his nose because it was clogged up. And he found that simply breathing the whole breath, if you take a whole breath and feel it in and out, that was sufficient. However, if you find, because of your past experience or the way people are teaching you now, that it's more effective to put your attention on your nose, then do so. Or if you want to do it from your stomach, your belly, if you want to feel that going in and out, and I know some teachers teach that way, some practices do it that way, go ahead and do that. However, as Ajahn says, this isn't nose breathing, this isn't belly breathing, this is simply watching the breath. So take that under advisement. Whatever you find, I think whatever you find to be most helpful in your meditation, as long as you don't become obsessed with your nose or your belly or some other part of your body, then continue to do it that way. But you might try switching sometimes and simply watching the breath as the whole feeling of the breath going in and out without any particular place. Does that make sense? Yes. Oh, good. Good. Okay. Well, try to simply watch the breathing as breathing, the whole in and out breath, and without it having to watch the nose necessarily. My first teacher, who I mentioned before, actually did say, put your attention on your nose, on the nostrils here, but I found that it's more useful for me now, anyway, this is many years later, to simply watch the breathing going in and out and keeping the mind on the breath. All right. You're welcome. Does anyone else have a question? Yes. Oh, yeah. Yes. Well, you simply... however you want to make the deal and however you want to state it, you know that later on you're going to be able to think about things or whatever things you want to as much as you want. So you simply keep that idea before you and say, look, mind, you can think as much about eating as you want to later in a half hour. So, or an hour. So I give you permission in an hour or half hour, whatever time you pick, to think as much about whatever this subject is that you're concerned about. But for the next half hour or whatever time it is, I'm going to stay focused on the breath. So you give me that space. This is a recess for you. You can relax and not have to think about the boss or my spouse or the children or any of those subjects that come up in your mind. All right, is that clear? I can't think of anything else. Is that clear? Is that clear enough? It's really nothing scientific or technical. You simply talk to yourself. You talk to yourself into doing it the way you want, which is to keep the mind as silent as possible. If you look at Ajahn Brahm's The Basic Method of Meditation pamphlet, I recommend that greatly. He goes through some steps. He goes through these various steps of getting more and more silent in the mind and watching nothing but the breath. And you start out with the thoughts in your mind and then you let them go and go on. I haven't prepped myself with that booklet, but I would recommend using that if there's any doubt in your mind about if you want a procedure, if you want to follow a procedure, that's an excellent way. It's his basic method of meditation, if you haven't seen it. And we have tons of copies around here. So I'm always assuming people are aware of that that method. If I were teaching from scratch, I would use that booklet and go along those. I didn't learn in that particular way, but I think it's an excellent step-by-step procedure to use, and you don't have to do all the steps in the same meditation. You can do one whole meditation on the first step, and if you're not doing that too well, you continue it to the next time you do meditation. You proceed along those steps according to your own ability, and you decide that yourself. The preparations being. Not. Now, good. Okay, generally, an affirmation. Okay, that's good. I'm glad to hear it. Good. Sure.
Hi, Bharti.
Hi. Well, that's a good question, especially at the beginning. I would say you pick the time that's most convenient. And let me throw this in so I don't forget, is that what you want to aim for is to extend the time that you meditate over whatever months or years or whatever days or whatever that you have, you want to, if you start out with 5 minutes, try to extend that to 10 minutes. If you start out with a half hour, try to extend that to an hour. If you start out and you're doing an hour a day, try 2 hours a day. They say that to really make progress, you need to do 2 hours a day. But I know that's a little bit too much for a lot of people, but it's something to aim for. But in general, try to extend the amount of time that you put in. Now, as far as the time of day, that's up to you. I can only say my own personal experience is that it's best to do it in the morning. But then that's the kind of person, you know, they say some people are morning people, some people are night people. If you find it's better to do that, to meditate in the evening after you come home from work or after you've done all your chores for the day or whatever, then by all means, if you find it's more beneficial to do them both morning and evening, which I found really beneficial to myself, then by all means, do a bit in the morning and a bit in the evening. Right? You have to find your own way in these matters by observation, by seeing. This is part of what you're doing when you're watching your meditation. Oh, good. Great. Thank you. Great. I'm glad that it's there. That's good. That's very good. If you haven't seen that, by all means, and if there's any doubt in your mind about the meditation or how to proceed, be sure to look at it. I mean, you may have meditated so often in the past and have so much experience that you don't need it, but you may not. So it's up to you to look at it. You may see something you'd never thought of before. Was anybody bothered by sounds? That's another topic for beginning with. If sounds come in, do they bother you? And what do you do if somebody's yelling in the back, or if you hear a car, or if the kids are yelling and screaming, or what kind of things might you hear? What do you do when you hear sounds? That's a good question. Yes.
And I noticed that there's a sensation of coming back up again, and then you've got to go back down. It's sort of like I've got to work at blocking the sounds and focusing. So there's a sense of coming up from the deeper meditation.
Hmm.
Coming back up and then having to refocus.
Hmm. Yeah. It's not always easy to deal with interruptions and noise, and that's why I mentioned it. So you have to find your own way to deal with it, but as Ajahn Brahm would say, you know, you welcome all of these interruptions. You welcome them into your heart, in a sense. Open your heart and just let them exist and don't worry about them. I think it was Ajahn Chah who was meditating, and he was very annoyed because he could hear celebrations in the village that were sort of down the mountain or someplace, and he could hear them. And then he realized that he was disturbing the sounds instead of... It's just the reverse. This is such a strange thing to think about, that the sounds are not so much disturbing you as you're not allowing the sounds to simply exist. Say you had, for instance, you were meditating at home, and you might have birds outside chirping, And really, they have a right to make noise. You simply accept them. I don't know how else to put it. Accept what's going on. I mean, if it becomes too much, then you have to do something, but accept what's going on and just add that in. This is part of my existence. This is part of what's happening in the present moment. Whatever it is, it's fine. Whatever it is, you meditate with that. If it's too hot or too cold, you accept those things. And in fact, you're going beyond them by doing that. You accept them as part of your existence, you're part of your reality in the moment. Rather than fighting them. You don't want to, if you're fighting reality, then your meditation will simply become a war between you and what you think the way things should be. But if you just accept the way that the things are and let them be as they are, they'll disappear after a while, actually. They'll just simply not become a factor that's really important. And just continue watching your meditation object. No matter what, to watch your meditation object and let the other things be. The same as feelings in your body. You may have some pains, but let them be. At least try, unless the pain is excruciating, just let the pain be. If it's something they say, on this subject of pain, by the way, if they say that if you get up and you're limping, then you better do something when you're meditating to change your posture, because you can injure your knee or your leg or your muscles. But if it's something that's just paining you for a while and you get up and you're walking normally, then experiment with the possibility that you can accept this pain and just let it go and just continue meditating and just ignore the pain and see if the pain doesn't just disappear. You see, it depends, but don't injure your legs or knees or anything like that. All right. Oh, good.
For all the little advice about the contract with the mind or where to observe the breathing.
Good.
And about the meta meditation, I noticed that when I first, when you guided us,
excellent. Good. As I said, I recommend doing a little bit of meditation every day. And in fact, every meditation period, I would do a little bit at the beginning. And whatever you can do. All right? Anything else? Oh, that's a big subject. Well, other than meditate, it's almost like asking, what is the best way to continue meditating while all of these things are going on? And I assume you mean not only COVID, but wars and what I'm not sure what in particular you mean, but all the things together can introduce complications to your meditation and to your daily life. But that's why we're meditating. The very fact that all these things exist leads us into meditation generally. It's people who are discomforted by the various facts of life who are going to meditate and want to meditate. And they'll find in meditation an oasis, you might say, in the desert. If the world seems hellish around you, then go to a place where you can put those things aside. And so the practice is to learn how to do that so that your meditation becomes more effective. The more effective meditation you have, the less you'll be concerned by things. I mean, it sounds bizarre or unfeeling, possibly, to say you won't be bothered by the fact that thousands of people are dying because of COVID or because of some other thing or because of war. But in actuality, what can you do that's better than meditation? In fact, for the whole world, there's nothing better than that you can do. And your meditation does affect, I'm certainly convinced of this, that your meditation will affect the rest of the world in some way. So you can hold that as a promise and continue meditating. In fact, meditate all the more because of the difficulties in the world situation. There have always been problems in the world situation, and yet there have been arahats. Oh, let me think a minute. Then you, what you're proposing is doing meditation, metta meditation, without repeating phrases in your mind. That's something that you would prefer. So you can work towards that aim yourself. In general, people use, now let me go jump to a simile. You know, on farms you have an old iron pump in the backyard, an iron pump for water. It pumps water. I don't know if you've ever seen these. You're pumping water, right? And it takes, if you've ever seen an old iron pump, when you go out and try to get a bucket of water, if you've ever tried, you can't get anything at the beginning. You have to pump it up. You have to pump and pump. That's what we're doing with meditation, in particular meta-meditation, because at first we don't have the pump going here. It takes a while, and that's why we start out with doing this. And this is like this pump handle is like the words that we speak over and over until we get the feeling going. And that's what we really want, is the feeling. Once you get that going, it's like the pump and you're pumping a bucket of water. Once you get the water flowing, you'll notice you don't have to pump so much. It just starts flowing on its own. If you've ever used one, it just, once it gets pumped up, it'll start flowing by itself. And all you have to do is once in a while, give it a little hit, like spinning a bicycle wheel. Once you get it going, you just have to give it a little tap once in a while to keep it going, right? Well, that's how it is with metta. Once you get that feeling going, then you can keep it going. Just by a little bit of input, maybe from your mind, or a few words. See? So you don't have to rely on the words. The words are a way to start. And I start that way because I assume that people are not so familiar with various meditation objects. So I start with the very beginning way of doing things. And the usual way is by reciting various kinds of things. You don't have to do that, but the way to get there is to get the feeling going. What you want in the metta is the feeling of the metta. That's what you're aiming at, not the words. The words are insignificant. You can make up your own words. And if you can reach the point where you have this feeling, this overwhelming feeling of love, universal love, then you don't need the words, right? I see a monk there. All right, does that make sense? Everybody clear on that? Yes, I'm sorry I didn't mention that in the beginning, but can't think of everything. Yes, you want what you want. I'm assuming that everybody knows what metta is, but maybe loving kindness. Maybe you're not familiar with these states. These are higher states that you reach, and they're higher worlds in a sense. And you reach them generally through jhana. However, you can come to a feeling of loving kindness in your daily life by practicing metta. And you don't have to practice. Bhante Ji used to talk about being in airports and practicing, having his feet up on the couch in the waiting room and practicing metta for the people around him. He didn't necessarily say words. But he's very experienced. But wherever you are, you can practice metta. And simply remember the feeling you had when you were successful in having this feeling come up, like the pumping water. The water's flowing out. You want the water to flow out. All right? I hope it works. I'm sure it will. You just have to practice. Practice the metta. Okay. Go right ahead. I've never heard of that before, but that's very interesting. I'd like to know the results of that. I'd be interested in knowing how successful. Everybody has different... No, please. Good. Thank you. Thank you. That's wonderful. I've never heard anyone talk about that before, to be honest. It sounds very reasonable, and I think I'll have to try that myself. Thank you very much. Oh, the pump, yes, good, good. Excellent. Yes, good. 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 I might. Is somebody talking? Oh, I'm sorry. I thought maybe you were talking, because I can't exactly see what people are doing there. The only thing I would say about that, and I hesitate to say this because I don't want you to get the wrong idea that I don't approve or something, but the only thing to caution you about is that loving kindness is a universal love of all people, and it isn't for particular people necessarily. If you can get the love going that way, fine. But in general, they tell you don't pick people. There's a way of doing it where you're picking like five or six different types of individuals and you go through them. Don't pick people who are very close to you, especially in a romantic situation. And they say, don't do that. So I just want to throw that in. It's not particular or romantic love like that. And even if you think of your child, that's more of a particular kind of love. This kind of love, metta, is a universal love. In the Christian church, I think it's called agape. I think it's pronounced. I'm not sure. I think it's a Greek word. Agape is a general. I think it's the same thing as metta, to be honest. It's a love that extends to all beings, or can extend to all being. But you can pick out a particular person if you want. This is another way of practicing. Say you're doing walking meditation and you pick a person you know and you say, may Jane be well and happy. And as you're walking, you repeat, may Jane be well and happy. And then you go on to another person. You see, it's another way of doing it. It's a little different from what you were talking about, but nice. Yes, right. That's right. Oh. Thank you. Good. Excellent. I enjoyed it very much. I'll be anticipating our next session. I hope everybody is well and happy. uh,